Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, stacking the green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. Ryan, what's shaking?
That voice. You're going for it today.
Hey, man.
Been really bringing it.
Been doing some voiceover auditions, getting my radio voice.
And,
getting it all ready to go. Of course, the Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you by Amazon. You go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com, click the Amazon link, and you can just bookmark that. And every time you go to that link and you buy stuff off Amazon, like official NFL, MLB, NHL merchandise, we give you a little taste of that. We get a little juice. Don't worry, guys. We put it to good use, reinvesting back into the gambling community. Ryan, where to start? Where to start? A lot of stuff going on. Oh, well, let's... You want to put in your headphones real quick. I sent this to you.
Oh, this is great.
This is, I think you...
I got it. Everything's cool. Everything's under control, Sean.
All right. Everything's under control. So, our old buddy Stud Manley sent me this link. It was cracking me up. But yeah, I guess Ian Eagle, however you want to pronounce it.
He goes by Ian.
Ian Eagle.
Yeah.
Anyway, he got into it with the other announcer. I don't know. This clip pretty much just speaks
for itself.
Please,
Sean, don't be condescending.
Threes coming from all over the place, and then everything that could go wrong, you know, foul, ball goes in, and one, stops the clock, turnover, missed free throws when you got fouled. It was crazy.
Could I make one point?
Sure can.
I just want to say that earlier, you had a very patronizing tone towards me. I fully understand what a slip screen is. I've been doing the NBA for 18 years. But the way you presented it initially was gobbledygook. So, like the audience, I wanted you to come back and explain yourself. And you then just took a firing line on me.
Yeah.
And it was uncalled for.
I don't think so.
That's exactly what happened.
You are overly sensitive to
I am not.
Did you have a bad day today?
It's second game of a back-to-back.
The
it's
ride back from Philly,
tough.
Did it like disturb you last night?
That was 2 hours with you, which is probably the reason why I've had enough tonight. Timeout.
That is one of the greatest.
And mind you, this is the Nets local TV broadcast team, which is...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was a national game.
A lot of those guys do. Like Mike Breen, the guy on TNT or ESPN, he does... He's the Knicks MSG broadcast. A lot of those guys like work for NBA teams and then...
Oh, so they'll do like a couple...
Yeah, they're
kind of
like...
And then do some...
Their full-time job is with a team and then the rest of the time they freelance for whatever network...
All right, good times there. NBA playoff races are heating up everywhere, all over the board, Ryan. I won last night, two nights ago, Wednesday night. I had Clippers plus 135 going into Denver. Hard-fought game. They were down like 8, or even I think they were down like 11 at one point, and they ended up winning outright. Felt pretty good. I think this Clippers team... coming together at the right time. I felt like they started off really strong, turning some heads, lost Chauncey Billups, hit some rough spots, but now I feel like coming together a little bit. Kenyon Martin's been playing actually really well.
He makes them tougher. I think it's a weird year. Like the matchups are going to determine who wins. Like the Clippers have owned the Thunder this year, but I don't think they can beat Memphis if they get matched up with Memphis as the 4-5. It'll be tough. Just like the Spurs. Like, if the Spurs get the one seed and Memphis beat the Clippers, and they can beat the Spurs, I think, fairly easily. It's a really weird year for matchups. Like, Oklahoma City, no chance they're losing to the Spurs. But I could see them losing to the Clippers. I could see them losing to the Lakers.
Yeah, and the Clippers, not a bad road team, to be honest. Not a bad road team. Especially surprisingly for a young team.
They got Chris Paul.
Well, right. Yeah, I guess it just seems like they don't have a lot of playoff experience. I mean, what is Chris Paul's playoff experience?
He had a couple years last year. You remember he kind of torched or he like gave the Lakers all they could handle.
Yeah.
But, that's another reason to bring up Kenyon Martin. Veteran playoff experience.
No, I mean, I think he was obviously fired up for the game in Denver, but even this game yesterday... against the Suns, he was just coming in at the right time. He didn't take too many jump shots. He just, I don't know, he gives a nice change of pace from, like, DeAndre and Blake.
Yeah, they had some
when Blake turns on that, like, super athletic mode, it's just insane watching him dunk. I mean,
the problem, he's just not that good at basketball overall. He's really good at rebounding and dunking. But, I mean, teams are playing off him, like, 5 feet now when he's got the ball 15 feet from the rim because he's scared to shoot. He's scared to drive a little bit because he can't hit a free throw. It's getting a little weird. Like, you'll watch him do something ridiculous, like a reverse, like, 360 alley-oop dunk, and then he'll be scared to shoot a 15-foot jump shot. He's got to work on that.
Well, yeah, and how many years did he have in college?
2.
All right. So 2 years in college. This is basically his second full season in the NBA.
Still, he had a whole year to practice. It's one of those things, like, these guys who are, like, super, super athletic, they never really figure out the little things in the game. But
guys like Blake or guys like Dwight Howard, who are...
I mean, look, it took him 8 years to really figure out how to play offense. 7 years.
Yeah, it is crazy. It seems like it's fairly easy. I mean, I can figure out how to play offense, and I suck at basketball. I mean, not great, but you just look at a guy with that... with those great physical skills, and you're pulling your hair out, going, "How does he not figure out how to?"
Well, you never
get more points?
Think about it. You never play anyone near your level,
right? You're never
going to work on new stuff.
Yeah, you don't have to push yourself. I guess it makes sense.
That's like, look at Zach Randolph. He's never been overly athletic or oversized. He's just got, like, 2,000 post moves and can score with really... He can't even jump. I'm not sure he can dunk.
He's got old man game. Zach Randolph is a guy you would just see at the Y dominate.
Yeah, he reminds me of... who's the coach of Houston now? Former Boston Celtic. It reminds me of him. Kevin McHale. A guy who just tries hard and has, like, all these weird, like, old man moves.
Yeah, elbows always
like
in the right place.
The triple up and under.
Yeah.
The floppy noodle or whatever Kevin McHale called it.
All right, Ryan. So let's now we're talking NBA. Any other thoughts going in before we do our special playoff podcast?
I don't know. I think I'm a little nervous the Lakers might do well.
Here's the thing. I feel like once Kobe's back healthy, is Bynum still going to be as dominant? Is Kobe going to be willing to feed Bynum the ball he needs to keep up this momentum?
It also becomes a matchup thing. If Bynum gets matched up with a guy like Perkins or Marc Gasol or someone who's going to play him tough, get under his skin, and force him to get technicals, I think that's going to get him out of his game. If he's allowed to play against that, that's one of the reasons I think the Lakers would beat the Clippers in a series, is there's no one really to man up on Bynum. I guess you throw Martin on him maybe and just try to get in his head, but that's why I think Perkins would just own Bynum in the playoffs, because Perkins will get under his skin and just... really, really destroy them.
That would, yeah. I think they're going to have a tough matchup.
Well, I mean,
against
they
OKC.
Might end up playing who? They're going to play Dallas or Denver in the first round. They're going to beat either one of those teams.
Well, I mean, they've swept the series against Dallas in the regular season, but who? I don't know. What do you think? Does Dallas have any playoff heart? Do they have a?
Just they don't have the size to stop. I mean, Bynum and Gasol are playing really well together. You need size to continue.
Right. They really don't need Kobe. That's the problem, because Kobe's going to want his touches.
Yeah.
But really, you just have Bynum down low, and then you just have Gasol just outside of him taking shots, and you just have Bynum working right next to the rim. That's an unstoppable duo right there.
Their best offense is when they throw the ball to Gasol at the high post, the free throw line. And then he can either
kick it out to a shooter or get it down to Bynum super low.
Both those guys never take the ball below their head. You can't really guard that.
And as long as we're talking about playoff basketball here, where is this Indiana Pacers team come from?
Yeah, I mean, they've won, they're like over 65%, which is a really good season.
Right. I mean, we were talking early on, or I guess the national media was, hey, the Pacers team doing pretty well.
Good story.
Yeah, and in the same way the Sixers were early on, you think, okay, they're going to fall off. Sixers, of course, fell off, struggling to get into the playoffs, which at this point, does it really help them going in as an 8 seed? Although they beat Miami at least one game last year in the playoffs. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think... And
but
the
now
Pacers, the Pacers lucked out because they're going to end up playing the Magic.
Right, whose season's essentially over.
Yeah, and then, you know, second round, it's looking like they'll play the winner of the Heat and Knicks. So, I mean, it'll be interesting because the Sixers or the Pacers played, if you remember, they played the Bulls tough last year, even though they got
well. See
swept.
What almost I almost wish Dwight Howard was playing so that you get good value betting the Pacers. Now it's going to be too lopsided.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to be crazy.
Right, but I'm just saying.
I don't think people believe in this Pacers team. Even if
I would have liked to take the Pacers against the Magic with Dwight Howard being in his pussy baby mode.
Yeah,
and I think you would obviously you would have got a better number there. Okay, so we're just tickling the feather in the old butthole there. The NBA playoffs. We'll put out a full podcast once that gets to crunch time. All right, Ryan, let's go to the playoffs that are in action, the National Hockey League. Of course, we're going to touch on my pick of the Philadelphia Flyers.
Oh, here we go.
Actually, I don't want to gloat too much.
Yeah, watch out now. They just lost 10-3.
I know. That does feel like a series changer kind of game. But
that's
a
momentum shifter right there.
They are up 3-1. Obviously, they're going back to Pittsburgh tonight. And here's the thing, this Flyers team has been playing great, scoring a ton of goals, making up for their lackluster goaltending. Brizgalla or whatever his name is.
Did they have two goalies give up 5 goals last night?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. 2 nights ago. That's impressive.
Yeah, and this Brizgalla guy.
Because those goalies, it's all about like confidence, and you lose both your goalies like that.
Well, even in their wins, it was 8-5, 8-4, 4-3, and the 4-3 game, they were down 3-0.
You want your keeper to be confident.
His best game was a game where he let up 3 goals to start the game.
Yeah.
But that's the way this – I mean, but that's kind of – in recent years even when the Flyers made their run to the finals, it wasn't really built around goaltending as much as solid defense and great offense.
They have a really good power play.
Well, and they were on the two games, game 2 and game 3, the big difference maker, it seemed like, was, well, A, their physicality. They got Crosby fighting. They're getting in his head. And also the shorthanded goals. They had scored a couple of shorthanded goals, I think, in that 8-5 win. And
yeah, they're the toughest
maybe one
team
or two
that I've seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, the Flyers, I'm still feeling confident they're going to win the series. They're playing tough. They're making up for their lackluster goaltending. They're moving the puck really well, spacing out very nicely. Giroux, he's scoring like a beast. Briere's looked really good. So I still feel pretty high in this team. Obviously, I mean, the Penguins hadn't been swept since 1979. They're a proud hockey franchise, so to expect that you're going to sweep them is tough. But the Flyers still looking pretty good for the series odds at +190. My dad tried to hit me up. My dad also went in on the series bet of +190, and he's like, hey, what about throwing some money on the Flyers to win it all? And then I went and looked, and the Flyers are now down to 4-1 to win the Stanley Cup.
Wow, what were they at the beginning, do you know?
I think they might have been 8-1.
Yeah, they'd still be pretty high. I think most people had them as the second or third best team in the conference.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things. Pittsburgh was the favorite to win the East and to win the Stanley Cup. But definitely there was some thought that, okay, if the Flyers can get by the Penguins, they're a pretty tough team. So,
well, I think a lot of people felt they were two of the best teams playing in the first round. It's just bad luck.
Yeah, it's just a weird way the NHL matches up like that. So your pick there, Ryan, with the Penguins not looking good. Let's go to the board and take a look at how our picks compare to supposed NHL hockey expert Barry Melrose, who he challenged to a one-on-one series competition, which he's completely unaware of, that he's wagering money on this.
Yeah, so we agreed on the Rangers. Right now, tied at 2 against Ottawa.
You mean, when you say we, you mean us and Barry Melrose?
Us and the three of us agreed.
Okay.
How about that?
Sure. Well, you can just say we from here on out, meaning the podcast and us. All obviously, right. We know the difference in opinion on the Pittsburgh-Philly series.
Bruins and who the fuck are the Bruins? Capitals. We both agree.
Now, what's that series at right now? Did they just finish playing?
It's 2-2.
Okay.
So tied
we both
up.
Agreed on
we
the Bruins,
We both
liked
the Bruins. So the first series we differed was we liked Florida, Barry liked New Jersey. New Jersey tied it up tonight, 2-2. It's 2-2 in the series.
Panthers are looking good, though,
Martin Brodeur had his 24th playoff shutout, which is the most in NFL history now.
NHL. But
sorry. Yeah, sorry. Right. I'm thinking about the NFL. Let's see here. Next up, he liked the Penguins. Of course, I like the Penguins, as you just reminded me.
Yep.
And who did you like, Sean?
You know, in that series, I was feeling the Flyers.
Yeah.
Especially at plus 190. Yeah, are you throwing out the odds, too? We should.
Let me pull those up. In hindsight, we should have just taken all the dogs. That's really what we should have done. I don't know why we didn't do that. That would have been more fun. Yeah, so far, the ones we've gone over, we had, of course, the Penguins. I took them at minus 230.
You had the Penguins.
Yeah. Let's see here. The Rangers, minus 240. And the Bruins, minus 230, which is, man, all these favorites are playing tight. And the Panthers, plus 165.
So the Panthers, plus 165, 2-2.
That's not a bad-looking one right
and
there.
And that's a pick we differed on Melrose. That's a chance to make up some ground.
So then in the West, we both agreed on the Kings, who, as plus 190, I believe... Plus 175, dogs, up 3-1 in the series right now.
That would have been a nice parlay.
Yeah, seriously.
Flyers, Kings?
Yeah, Jesus. Barry Melrose liked the Blues. We, of course, went with the dog, the San Jose Sharks, who were going off at plus 140. Series currently is 3-1, St. Louis up.
Not looking great. Not looking good there.
Not looking good at all. The other one was... we took Chicago. Barry Melrose also took Chicago. As I believe they're slight favorites. Minus 130, I want to say. Yeah, minus 130. They are down 3-1.
So wow. But they just lost in overtime, right?
Just lost in overtime. Down 3-1. And then
How did the Phoenix Coyotes win a playoff series?
These warm weather teams. The last series, Barry Melrose, like the Predators from Nashville. We took Detroit solely because Nashville does not deserve to have a hockey team, and Detroit should have a hockey team. They were even money. They are also down 3-1. So,
wow.
All in all, it turns out we don't know a ton about hockey. Probably because it's a relatively stupid sport to bet on.
But
playoffs are fun.
I think right now, if it all worked out, well, a couple are tied. But
yeah, we'll see.
I think that Flyers pick might be able to. Might be able to turn it
by next week for the NBA preview. We should be able to have a round two preview.
We'll throw in it. Yeah, we'll do a slight round two, and we'll recap the round one playoffs.
But I will say, I've been watching a fair amount of hockey. Man, I feel like they're starting back to hitting. Like there's been some really
it's been a physical playoffs.
Really, like, awesome hits. Like dudes getting their heads taken off.
Just even in that, I mean this. Penguins Flyers series. Granted, I don't watch a ton of hockey, but I don't remember a series like this. Just insane amount of goal scoring, insane amount of physical hits, tons of fighting, hair pulling. You got Sidney Crosby, the biggest star in the league, instigating multiple fights. And a guy who's had concussion problems.
Yeah.
He could have been out of the league. He may have serious brain damage, and he's starting fights.
Really?
How
crazy.
Do you not like that about a sports league?
Love it.
Yeah, but NHL, it's a good time. Here's the thing. The NHL playoffs are long enough that you can hop in on it and still have a nice little run and not, I don't know. I mean, obviously if your team gets knocked out round one, but I feel like you can just kind of jump in the playoffs and still have a nice little run of hockey, good solid like month and a half. To me, it's the same way with college basketball. It's like, all right, I come in at March Madness. I have a good run. I got a team I'm rooting for. I got my little bracket, throw a couple wagers, and I'm fine with that. I don't know how much I need of the regular season. I mean, obviously, if you're a diehard fan, yeah, it's great. But for the casual fan, it's tough to follow the entire NHL playoffs season. All right, Ryan, let's cruise over to Major League Baseball. What's your thoughts? What are we about 10 games in here, 11 games, 12 games?
Yeah, it's early. It's baseball. Anaheim looks like shit. Texas looks awesome.
Texas hot out of the gates. Phillies.
Detroit looks good. You know, I think the Yankees in Tampa will be there. No real surprises. St. Louis looking fine without Pujols. Might have some pitching issues. Wainwright hasn't looked right. Phillies Phillies. I feel like the Phillies Braves will end up being there. Washington is making a run right now. It's a good story. I'm not sure if they can sustain it, but shit. I mean, they have the best record in the National League, and I guess the big story is the Dodgers. Matt Kemp coming out. He's got 7 home runs.
That's insane.
Just crushing the ball. If you look at the underlying stats there, he's obviously going to regress a little bit. But hey, the Dodgers are winning. That division stinks, so, you know, who knows?
Yeah, and who is it? Who's the pitcher for the Giants is out now? Had to get surgery?
The beard. Brian Wilson.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever. I don't know. It's too early.
Padres sucked. I'm just speaking to why the Dodgers probably.
I bet you the Padres don't finish last in that division. They have a lot of young talent. I have a feeling they're gonna.
Have the over on the Padres,
yep,
right?
I do. In full disclosure,
over on the Padres win. Just so we're not too tainted.
They've been kind of unlucky so far this year. If you look at their, I won't get into it.
If you look at the advanced metrics.
Yeah, I don't know. Everything else, you know, some of the player props I took are looking good. But it's been a good. I mean, Curtis Granderson just hit 3 home runs for the Yankees. That's always exciting.
That's crazy.
Yeah, first 3 at bats. Start. Went 5 for 5 for the game.
What's that feeling like after you jack that 3rd homer? Are you just thinking like I'm never not going to hit a home run for the rest of my life? You must have that moment where you think like, oh my god, this is.
It is insane. Crazy how streaky baseball players can be, and it's all just confidence. Like. He must be feeling like he can't miss the ball right now. You go 5 for 5 in a Major League Baseball game, you can't wait till the next game starts.
Well, yeah, and it's the same thing with golf or even shooting in NBA. And you think, like, you're a professional athlete. You're insanely good. I understand why my confidence gets rattled when I shank, you know, like a drive 150 yards.
But when you're hitting it good, like when you're putting well,
oh yeah,
the cup seems like it's bigger. It's just...
All the great rounds I've had, I 2-putted or less in the on that first hole.
That's key.
Yeah, because you just see it going in the cup. It's the same thing with basketball. When you play a basketball game, if you hit a shot early, it makes a huge difference.
Same in golf, too, like with a chip. Your first chip,
yeah.
If you hit that good, you're good for the round. If you shank it, then the whole round you're just thinking about, okay,
I heard this phrase, swing thought. You know, which is basically that thought you have while you're swinging. You know, that kind of like, don't pull your, like, basically you want it to be as simple as possible and as focused as possible. But the idea of like, hey, don't pull this or don't put your foot out or don't jerk it to the left. Basically, like the smallest swing thought is the best swing thought.
Yep. That's why Tiger was so good before. His swing thought was just pussy.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, he just, you know, now his brain's clouded with testosterone and divorce settlements.
He's all backed up and
He can't think right. Okay. What else do we want to get to? You want to touch on the WNBA draft, Ron?
No.
ESPN special.
I'll tell you what what I'm looking at right now. Week 1, NFL lines.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah. All right, let's do it.
Yeah, because this is really more fun than anything that's going to happen in the next 6 months.
I know. I was already texting Ryan.
Yeah.
As soon as the schedule came out, I was texting him Week 1 locks.
Don't even really give a shit about the schedule. Who cares? It always works itself. They always make a big deal. Oh, the Giants have the toughest record. The Patriots have an easy record, and all their
games
are at home. It's like you're basing that off of last year.
All right, well, Ryan, before we jump into this, traditionally, 2 teams make the playoffs that weren't in the playoffs the year before. And then 2 teams, obviously, were in the playoffs, we'll just say, like, pick 2 teams from the AFC that are going to make the playoffs that weren't in it last year, and pick the 2 teams that are going to get knocked out, and we'll do it for the AFC, NFC.
So, and there's also the, there's always the Super Bowl hangover.
Yeah.
Playing that long season, usually, often
and especially the Giants were, admittedly, a huge piece of shit last year. And so 9-7... I don't know, man.
Stop for a second. 9-7, 10-6 has won the toughest division in football many times.
Yeah.
So.
No, that wasn't. It wasn't the toughest division last year, and that was a fluke.
Yeah, even in a bad down year, it's still a tough division.
Victor Cruz and his homoerotic salsa dancing.
You play the Redskins. Even if they're dog shit, it's still tougher than, you know, the
Steelers. Well, yeah, it's tough for the
the Bengals.
It's tough for the Super Bowl champions who got swept by the Redskins. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's
Can we talk? Let's talk about the Eagles then.
Yeah, what are we going to talk about? They're plagued by injuries.
Okay.
Horrific
hype machine. That's
horrific hype machines. Well, right. That's why I like the Eagles going into this year, because there's low expectations.
Of course you do. That's the reason you like the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, I like them regardless. Right. I think, as much as it pains me, I think like the Redskins or the Cowboys are going to win the division next year.
Oh, you know what? I think the Cowboys are going to stink.
I mean, I hope they do.
Well, you've read the stuff about how the rumors about how they're starting to doubt Tony Romo.
Yeah,
which
is great.
Oh, awesome.
As Jerry Jones is checking out, that's all Tony Romo needs to.
All right, so let's start with the AFC. So the playoff teams last year were the Patriots, the Broncos,
okay,
Ravens, Steelers, Bengals, Texans.
Steelers, Broncos. Oh, wait, we got Pittsburgh, Denver, Ravens, Steelers, New England, and Texans.
Yeah.
Okay. Which two of these teams are not going to make it next year?
That's tough. It's tough to say the Patriots aren't going to make it. They're a machine.
And that division, what really scares you?
I agree. So we're going to pencil the Patriots in as the division winner. It would be easy to say the Broncos, just because, first of all, can't wait to take the under on Broncos wins this year.
Right. Well, it's weird. I'm not high on the Broncos as far as win total, but I still feel like they're solid to win that division.
All right, so you like them over the Chargers, Raiders, and Chiefs?
To win that division?
All right, well, let's pencil them in then.
All right.
All right, then we go to the North. Three playoff teams last year. I know people love the Ravens. I just don't get it. I don't get why people love I don't like Joe Flacco. I don't think he's a great player.
Oh, did we say the Bengals, right?
Yeah.
Oh, because you included them.
The Ravens are getting old. On the defensive side, that kind of carried their team last year. Their offense is Ray Rice. I'd be willing to throw out there.
You know what? I'm going to say the Steelers aren't going to make it.
Interesting.
And
based on what? The Steelers were world beaters until Ben got hurt.
Yeah, that's what that's what I think. I think they've kind of hit a wall with Ben Roethlisberger. I think Ben Roethlisberger is. He's a good quarterback, and yeah, he's won a ton of games, but I think maybe this year is the year. I just feel like this could be a down year for Ben. I feel like he's gotten banged up a lot. I feel like they're you know, you lose a guy like Hines Ward. It just seems like, I mean, Polamalu kind of dropped off.
All right.
Are they going to have Mike Wallace next year?
Yeah.
Did they re-sign him?
Not yet, but he's not going anywhere.
All right, I'm just saying. Out of these six teams, something's telling me the Steelers aren't going to be back. I know it's a little.
And I'm saying the Ravens.
Okay.
It's tough though because I think the Bengals are only getting better. Well, I can see them winning another wild card spot. And the Texans, who's going to challenge them in that division? Is the Titans, Jags, or Colts?
Yeah, that's why I'm going to have to knock the Bengals out. I think. You know, the argument there is just that was a little bit of a fluke. They were probably won a couple games they shouldn't have won. And I could see a sophomore slump for our old the redheaded rifle.
Here's what I think. I think it's going to be Patriots, Broncos, Steelers, Bengals, Texans, Titans.
Patriots, Broncos.
So AFC East, Patriots, AFC West, Broncos. The North's going to get two teams, Steelers, Bengals. And the South's going to get two teams, Texans and Titans.
Oh, so you don't see the Ravens making it.
Yep. They're my team to fall out.
Interesting.
Yep.
Oh, okay, so wait, your two teams that you have going in that weren't in are the Titans?
I only have one. I think I don't see another team dropping out.
Okay.
There's too many bad teams in the AFC next year.
All right, let's see. I will go with... I'll go with the Chargers as a wild card team.
Interesting.
And, I like that Titans team, too.
Yeah, I think that Titans team played you guys tough. I kind of liked what Locker did in limited time.
Yeah. And you still have Chris Johnson. He's pesky.
Yeah, apparently he's staying in shape this offseason.
Well, that's a nice change of pace.
Yeah. professional athlete.
Okay, let's do it for the...
NFC. Of course, last year, Giants, division winner, the East, 49ers.
Green Bay.
New Orleans, Detroit, and Atlanta. This is a lot easier for me.
Atlanta, no way they're coming back, right?
Atlanta's falling out for sure.
And I don't think the Giants are going to make it next year.
I'm saying the Lions are out.
I like...
I
think it could be more than two teams now that I look at it.
There's a lot of...
I don't like New Orleans next year.
I think the number one reason Atlanta falls out is the Panthers and Bucks are going to get better. The Saints are the Saints.
But now who wins this division next year?
Which division? The South?
Is it crazy? Are we crazy, Ryan, to throw a little bit of wager on these Carolina Panthers? My Carolina Panthers, my boy Cam Newton, who I picked up after week one, believing in him like so many people refuse to, so many doubters.
Yeah, unless they force the Saints to play in a different stadium, you're crazy.
I don't know.
I would love for it to happen, but I mean, we'll see.
Maybe. You never know.
If we're talking a 6-7-1.
Sean Payton takes a lot of pills, drives his car into the...
he's not allowed to have contact. I don't know how he's going to get his pills.
Dude, there is a loophole. I guess if one of the players has a baby knocks up a chick, he's allowed to call and congratulate that they gave...
Yeah, so Sean, we need to reiterate.
I like your idea of
solitary confinement in the NFL offices in New York. We're basically, we can make it a penthouse. Okay, I get it. They're used to a certain lifestyle. But that penthouse has no signal to the outside world.
Yeah, it's like it could be a channel on DirecTV.
And if
you
tries to contact, it's like a shock collar.
Just get to watch Sean Payton nervously pacing around.
Oh, my God. That'd be the greatest reality show.
It would be. It's like the MLB fan cave, except he just – I don't know. What do you think? Is it more torture to watch the games or not?
I don't know. These fucking football coaches are – he's probably just sitting there with a giant lipper.
Yeah. He's a man of addiction.
Yeah.
How does no one bring up the previous scandal of the pill thing? We're the only media outlet not afraid to make wisecracks about his obvious opiate addiction.
Yeah, I guess it's weird what is bad and what isn't bad in the NFL, right? Like, I don't know.
In my mind, this whole, like, you listen to that Greg Williams tape, and Ryan, I know you were a soccer player in high school, but for anyone who played football,
you're right. I didn't play rugby in college.
Okay.
We'll leave that out.
But that speech that the defensive coordinator gave was like every speech that I've ever heard in a football locker room. And the fact that after they reviewed the tape, there was like all these games that they were supposedly bounty hunting on, there was no card-offs. It was just like, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's the problem, right? Everything's cool until it isn't. And the league is in the middle of making, it's a huge campaign against hits to the head.
And
this comes out, and it's just like, well, sure, this happened all the time, but guess what? You were the one that got caught.
No, I understand why the league's going after him, and they should.
They have to go hard so it doesn't get caught again, you know?
Right. At least it's not on record.
This is more of a PR move than anything.
Yeah, I get it. But I'm just saying, I don't think what Greg Williams or what the Saints did or that whole thing was, like, morally wrong. When you're getting fired up for a football game, you talk a ton of shit. You're like, we're going to take these guys' fucking heads off. Oh, yeah, he's got a knee. You're going to fucking destroy that knee. You're just talking out your ass. You're yelling.
I guess the problem is if there really was bounties for, like, dirty hits, then that's probably where it gets. Because, look, we played rugby. You wanted to crush people. But you're not – no one's going at the knees or the ankles or trying to, like – I don't know. I feel like there's a line.
Yeah, I think it's also just like, hey, we're badasses. We got money to throw around. I don't think it actually – when those guys were lining up and they were going – they were trying to make plays. I don't think they were trying to injure the guy above making a play.
Here would be my argument. Sure. You watched the Saints over the last couple of years.
Right.
Every time I watch the Saints, you just get angry because you're like, God, this defense is dirty. I mean, they were a dirty – I think that's what hurts them, too. They were a dirty defense.
I don't know.
Look, Justin Tuck never talks. Justin Tuck came out and was or basically on behalf of the offensive line, talking about how the dirty things that the defense was doing. Like defensive linemen diving at knees, like things like that after the whistle. It's like you don't want to get a name for that. It seems stupid.
Right, then but then again, it is part of the game. And they police themselves, they get in fights. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not against them cracking down on it. I'm just saying I don't think it's like for people to act shocked and think it's insane. I think it's a little overblown.
Well, they have to, right? Again, yeah. It's a PR.
Okay, so Ryan, give me your six teams in the NFC that make the playoffs next year.
All right. God, I really want to fade the Packers, but they're too good. So we'll pencil in the pack. I'm going to go with the – man, this is tough. So we'll go Saints, Packers, Niners, and we'll go Giants. Their defense really came on strong at the end of the year, and that will be the difference this year. And then, let's see. Should I throw you a bone? No, I'm not going to. We're going to go with wild cards, Bears, and Panthers.
Wow, I totally forgot about the Bears.
The Bears were the best team in football until Cutler went down.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to say the Bears win the division next year.
Okay, here's what I got. Now that I think about it, I got to go to New Orleans. I don't think Carolina's quite ready to win the division, although if you get like 10-1 odds, it might be interesting.
Yeah, I'd say 7-1 or more. I might put a couple chucks on that.
All right, I like the Saints, the Bears, the Lions.
I really want the Seahawks to step up and dethrone the stupid fucking 49er team. No one likes them.
All right.
They're a bunch of bitches. Let's just pick the Seahawks.
You know what? I had Seattle, and then I crossed them out, but Matt Flynn might be
all right.
I like
what they're doing. Pete Carroll's in there, like, yeah, guys.
Did you see all the stuff coming out about Pete Carroll? How basically he was hooked up with this agent who was getting all the USC recruits, and they were paying him?
Yeah, come on.
No, I know.
It's funny, like, oh, he leaves and all this shit happens. I had no idea. All right, dude.
Okay, so I'll go with New Orleans, Chicago, Seattle, Green Bay, San Francisco.
No, you're going Seattle. Are you saying San Francisco is going to be the wild card?
Yeah.
There's no. All right. I will.
And Philadelphia.
I'm making a bold claim. There will not be a wild card team coming out of the NFC West.
They're due, man.
Neither West Division will have a wild card team. Nope. So anyway, forget about this bullshit. Let's talk about the Lions.
Let's break them down, Ryan. All right, so ahead of the schedule.
Wednesday night.
Now we'll play this clip right before see if we change.
See what kind of line movement happens based on the draft.
Well, the line movement and see if it changes our opinion. You know, watching a lot of preseason football and such. Okay, week one picks.
So the
made
Super Bowl champion.
The podcast.
Yeah.
April 20th.
Super Bowl champion, New York Giants, and Super Bowl MVP Eli Manning host the Dallas Cowgirls. Game moved up to a Wednesday night to accommodate one Barack Obama. New York Giants at home laying 3.5. Kind of, you know, three seems more correct here. But I don't know. Dallas just isn't that good. Giants kind of owned them last year.
I don't know. I'm going to have to take Giants, unfortunately.
It's just
that crowd's going to be too jacked up.
Yeah. Tough to take. I feel like when's the last time the Super Bowl winner didn't cover? I feel like it happens every year.
I feel like it's a good trend.
All right, so moving to Sunday. God, I love football.
I'm really annoyed at how many Thursday night games they're doing. I guess
why are they doing it all year now?
Well, I mean, I guess the thing is that NFL Network isn't getting cleared in enough stations or enough. So their thing is, if we have a Thursday night game every week, people call and start demanding NFL Network.
Yeah, maybe
it's like,
they should have that.
I got DirecTV, all right? I got NFL Network. I don't want to watch all these Thursday night games.
Thursday night is for
screws
college
up my
football.
Whole routine.
It's for college football.
I love the Thursday night Thanksgiving game. Don't get me wrong. Maybe throw a Thursday night game in late December. 13 Thursday night games is too much.
Yeah. It fucks up everything for the Hilton contest. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
All right. Chicago Bears hosting the Andrew Luck-led Indianapolis Colts. So the Colts released on Thursday that they will be selecting Luck. But, yeah, 9 points. Give me Brian Urlacher and this Bears defense against a rookie quarterback laying two touchdowns. I mean, I know Cam Newton was crazy last year, but...
Well, that Cam Newton's first game was against the Arizona Cardinals, and I was going crazy saying, how do we not take Arizona, blah, blah, blah. And yeah. They ended up winning by 7. I think maybe in the contest the spread was 6.5
so
or something like that.
Here's the difference, Sean. Rookie quarterbacks that are mobile, Michael Vick included, they can... When things break down, they can make it happen with their legs. Andrew Luck, I know he's athletic, more athletic than you'd think for a white guy, but I just, this Bears defense, that they don't let you beat them deep. They make you go over the middle and just check down. I just.
Right, he's going to get the shit kicked out of him.
I just think the first time, you know, Peppers comes in there and cracks him, he's going to be
like,
oh, shit.
And the rest of their team sucks. That's yeah. That's a problem.
They got nothing.
It's not like Andrew Luck's coming into a good situation.
All right, what would this spread have been week 15, or let's say with Cutler, so week 6 this year, what would the spread have been? It would have been 14 points.
I don't know. They're probably giving him, they're actually probably shading it the other way, I think.
No. Bears hosting the Colts week 5, 6, 7.
When Colts won a couple games at the end there.
No, I'm saying in the middle of the season when the Bears had their, I just.
Yeah. Yeah,
the
team I don't know.
Stinks. The defense isn't good on grass, especially that long grass. Freeney's going to be slipping all over the place.
All right. A couple of squares here.
Yeah.
What else we got?
All right. So I know you're going to be all over this square pick. Philly, laying 6.5 in Cleveland.
6.5. Wow. Well, I still like Cleveland. I
home
mean,
dog special.
Still like Philly, minus 6.5.
First week of the NFL season, home dog. All day. This spread is based on what?
On Colt McCoy not being a good quarterback.
Okay.
I mean, we'll see who they draft, but yeah, I don't see.
All right,
under 7 on. Points, I like the Eagles.
So the New York Football Jets and the fight. Well, I guess we should start calling the Fighting Tebows, or is that Week 4? Week 4, they'll be the Fighting Tebows.
Oh, pass number 4.
Buffalo travels to New York. Jets, for some reason, are laying 5.5 points.
Yeah, that's too high.
I feel like people didn't fully understand how bad Mark Sanchez is. And by trading for Tebow, the crowd is... Fireman Ed is going to be screaming for Tim Tebow.
Jets win by 3. But I like Bills getting 5.5. Bills always play
the
Jets.
How many games did the Jets win by a touchdown? More than 6 points this year. They're not a team that blows you out.
Yeah, 5.5 feels high for a division game against the Bills.
All right. This is an interesting one here. The New Orleans Saints... Coming off all the controversy, Drew Brees unhappy without a contract.
But now it sounds like they are going to sign.
Yeah, they're close. Washington Redskins, led by RG3, coming into town.
Wow, a lot of storylines here.
New Orleans laying 10.5.
Oh, give me Washington 10.5. That defense is too good.
Let me explain why I like it.
You like New Orleans minus 10?
No, I like Washington.
Oh, okay.
RG3.
Right, in a dome?
A little more athletic on turf, where he played all his game at Baylor on turf.
Right, I'm not going to bet against an African-American quarterback in a dome. I've gotten burned by that too many times. I mean, look at Dante Culpepper. Look at Randall Cunningham. Look at Michael Vick.
Skins played tough defense.
Yeah, Skins had a good defense. Yeah, no, dude, that's not even a bad money line pick.
All right, next, New England.
10.5?
Here's another one.
Can I put money on that now?
Yeah, I know. I wish we could... I'll be out in Vegas in a couple weeks, Sean. I bet I'm going to go to the Hilton and we'll put some bets in on the week one.
Yeah.
All right. New England, coming off Super Bowl loss to the New York Football Giants, travel to Tennessee where they're laying 6.5 points.
Give me Tennessee.
I like Tennessee next year. I like Tennessee to cover this. I even think Tennessee could win this. They're going to be a tough football team next year.
Yeah. I mean, just what we talked about, why we thought they might make the playoffs. They're going to be a tough team. At home, getting 6.5. You know, maybe buy the half point and give yourself that nice 7-point cushion. But I feel like that's a good home dog bet.
All right, Sean.
Much better than your Cleveland horse shit you're trying to pass off.
Will Adrian Peterson be ready for week one? Do we know? It's going to be close, I think.
I don't think so.
All right. The Jacksonville Jags... Led by Blaine Gabbert, who all his teammates are coming to his defense, saying he is confident and he didn't get shook last year, which is a good sign, I would say, if you're a Jacksonville fan.
MJD's holding out, though, right?
No, I mean, they're making a big deal about him not working out with the team, voluntary workouts. He never works out with the team. He lives out here. He trains in Southern California. I mean, when has he ever been out of shape?
No, yeah, I just saw.
That's just ESPN trying to make stories. Fucking all right, ESPN. So Jacksonville travels to Minnesota, where Minnesota's laying 3.5. This is tough because Jacksonville was such a bad team, but Minnesota without AP, I don't see how they can be laying more than 3. I like the hook. This is a crazy pick, but give me Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville might be a team that surprised a couple people early.
Yeah,
maybe like the Bills this year, where they come out and win like 5 games in the first 8 weeks.
Yeah, that hook's the difference there.
All right. Miami Dolphins traveling to Houston, where for some reason Houston's only laying 6. I mean, Matt Schaub and that team, they were a Super Bowl contender.
Right. I mean, obviously this is going to come down to injuries and whatever, but I mean, assuming...
I'm taking Houston there.
Assuming they're all healthy, that yes.
Miami doesn't have a quarterback, Sean.
Yeah. No, I agree. -6 is fine. They lost Mario Williams, though, right? Or is he re-signed somewhere?
He was out the whole year. I mean...
Yeah.
No, he signed with the Bills.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, another reason I like that Buffalo pick. They signed two defensive players. All right. St. Louis traveling to Detroit, where Detroit's laying 9.
Oh, St. Louis, baby. 9? Yeah. Jeff Fisher,
team's going to be tougher.
They're going to have the Blackman guy as receiver.
Maybe. No. I guess they're still undecided. But, yeah, I also like St. Louis. That seems like a big spread. Detroit's going to be a team you fade this year, I think. I think people are going to be like, oh, they're going to take the next step. I don't think they're going to take the next step.
I like them to take the next step.
All right.
I mean, you got Sue, you got a quarterback, and you got Calvin Johnson. It's a good mix.
All right, Sean.
They need to find a running back.
This is one that I might bet.
They should trade up and get Richardson.
One I might bet in 2 weeks.
Sure.
The Atlanta Falcons and Matt Ryan traveled to Kansas City. It's a pick. Give me Kansas City. Matt Ryan, not good on the road. Matt Ryan, not good on grass. Matt Ryan, not good when the crowd's going crazy.
You're dying to throw money on Romeo Crennel. Is that what you're telling me?
I am. Yeah. Players were playing for him.
Yeah, last year, because he's probably an easy coach.
Jamal Charles will be back. They got Peyton Hillis at a discount. He's going to be playing hard for a contract.
I mean, I'll take Kansas City right now, but I'm not
nearly
as high.
Their defense was playing tough. You remember those games down the stretch? Their defense was playing tough.
Ryan, I'll take him, but I'm not.
All day.
I'm not giving him a 5-star lock.
I'm seeing a little 3-teamer going on in my future.
Crazy.
All right. Oh, wow. San Francisco travels to Green Bay, where Green Bay is favored by 6.
Again, give me San Francisco. Oh,
love Green Bay.
Really?
Yeah. Look, let's remember what Alex Smith is. He is what we thought he was.
Yeah, but the same reason, I don't know. I think San Francisco is a good defense, and they keep it close.
I think San Francisco's style of play is not sustainable. They had too many big plays out of their offense that they won't get this year. I just like Green Bay. Green Bay's going to be explosive. They're going to be out to prove something.
It's true. But I don't know.
It's a lot of points, but San Francisco is a team I don't like next year.
I feel like 6 is a little high.
All right, so now your Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton travel to Tampa Bay, where they are 2.5-point favorites. Carolina.
Oh, lock it up.
Seems like an odd spread. This is the week 1, week 2 trap line, I believe. Typically, this is the Colts playing the Texans, where the Colts are going to Houston favored by 2.5, and everyone's like, what? Of course we're going to take the Colts.
Yep.
I think Tampa's the smart play here.
Give me new coach. Give me the square play.
Josh Freeman apparently is losing weight.
Give me, dude, Cam Newton, Ryan. Yeah, I don't think you remember. You're just soured on him because you lost money on the Pro Bowl betting on him.
Well, what a shithead. We need we need Gumby or whatever his name is to do it. Cam Newton, hottest motherfuckers in Madden.
Ryan's, of course, referring to the guy, YouTube video star who put out the video of Greg Jennings breaking his leg on Madden. It's one of the funniest videos of all time. Just Google YouTube Greg Jennings broken leg.
So I think we found another lock right here.
What do you like?
Seattle Seahawks travel to Arizona, where they are getting 2.5 points. This should be 3. I still like Seattle. Arizona's dog shit. They're going to start that ass clown Kevin Cobb, and he stinks.
I mean, that was one thing I've been right on, that when the Eagles got rid of Kevin Cobb, it was a great decision.
Yeah, he's really garbage.
His agent's awesome, but he's... Like I said, the most racist thing Arizona's ever done is to assume that Kevin Cobb was a great quarterback.
All right, so Pittsburgh Sunday night game. Pittsburgh travels to Denver, where Denver's only 2-point favorites. This Denver team was good with Tim Tebow at quarterback. I think they're going to be pretty good with Peyton Manning. I like Denver here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I want to see Peyton Manning in preseason, but that's who they beat in the playoffs, right?
Denver beat them without Peyton Manning in the playoffs.
Yeah. So -2, high altitude, Denver. That stadium is going to be jumping off
night
the
game.
Field. Yeah, although I think there is some bad mojo of getting rid of Tim Tebow.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just feel like it's hard. That guy did you so right. I don't know.
Peyton
Manning's
going to injure himself drinking Gatorade. He's going to strain his neck.
I don't know. I feel like this Broncos team could be snake bitten, but I like them week one still.
So, and then once again, ESPN has to have their stupid Monday night doubleheader.
Oh, I hate it.
Where you live, it sucks. If you live on the East Coast, you got a game starting at 10:15. No, on the East Coast, 7's fine, but 10:30 is retarded.
Yeah.
You got to stay up till 1 to finish the game. And then out on the West Coast, game starts at 4.
Yeah,
that's horseshit.
Bullshit.
So the first game, Cincy going to Baltimore. Baltimore -6.5. Give me Cincy. We talked about it already. I'm ready to fade Baltimore.
Yeah, that's fine. 6.5's a lot for a division game on a Monday night.
And, of course, the late game is always some dog shit matchup between
Oakland,
some teams from the West.
San Diego?
It's San Diego at Oakland.
Wasn't that last year?
It seems like it's every year. And San Diego -1 at Oakland. The San Diego team never starts fast, and Oakland looked solid down the stretch.
Yeah, I'll take Oakland.
Assuming McFadden's back, I'll give me Oakland as the home dog.
And if Jason Campbell's healthy. They kind of had a nice little run there.
He's a good quarterback. He's kind of in that Tavares Jackson range where you need to have a quarterback.
He's a little better than Tavares, I think.
I think healthy. You need to have a quarterback at least that good to get to the playoffs. Now, obviously, Tim Tebow shattered that theory, but I don't know. Football's awesome.
All right. Football is awesome. So is gambling on sports.
Yep.
Make sure you log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. You can click on the Amazon link. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can do that on iTunes, too. You can follow us for live tweets and live picks every day of the week at Gambling Podcasts, at Gambling Podcasts. Anything else you want to get to, Ryan?
I don't know. I feel like we should have some sort of contest for the draft.
Oh, wow. We'll be doing a podcast before the draft, though, right?
Got to promo it, though.
All right. What
do
we
have people do?
I don't know. Come up with a...
You can't... Tweeting 140 characters kind of... I was going to say, if anyone sends in the draft and gets every... All right, I'll put up some of my own cash for this one. If someone sends us a first-round mock draft and gets the whole thing right... What should I send them? What should we put up?
I don't know.
That's not going to happen, right?
No, that's insane. $200?
I don't know. Should we get crazy?
Sure. What are you going for?
All right. If someone sends me the full first round, we'll do $500.
All right, $500. Well, then we got to. What are we doing for the email address?
I don't know. Do we have an email address?
It's unclear. All right. Well, we'll figure it out.
We'll post an email on the Twitter.
Yeah, the official draft.
We need an email address, Sean.
Yeah, we'll get
Let's
that
get
going.
Get serious.
Get our business going. But yeah. Follow us on @GamblingPodcast. We'll tweet out the instructions for the official first round mock draft prize.
Yeah, $500 plus a T-shirt when we get them made.
Exactly. All right. Or even let's say if you get the first.
First whole thing.
Okay. The whole thing. $500.
Yeah.
All or nothing. Hey, I'm going to send one in. I'll take $250 off you.
We'll post them. Whatever we get, we'll post before. And we'll post our own.
We'll post your Twitter handles so you guys can...
We'll throw our mock drafts on the site. Maybe we'll do one together next week.
All right, so next time you guys will be tuning in. We'll do a podcast.
So when is the NBA season ends on Wednesday, I believe?
Yeah. So we'll have the podcast out Thursday?
Yeah, we'll do it Thursday night.
We'll do it Thursday night because the playoffs
Friday
start
morning. Because the draft starts Saturday, or starts Friday night. Prime time.
Prime time.
All right, we got to talk about this, the NFL. What's the point of this? Remember how much fun we used to have having poker tournaments on Saturday when the whole draft was going on?
Yeah, that was great.
Now they got this bullshit.
Nice, lazy Saturday. Why are you screwing up 4 of my days, NFL draft? Don't get greedy.
Yeah.
The NFL draft is like a – they're like a heroin dealer. Hey, you know I'm going to need my fix, but don't be jerking me around and skyrocketing the prices. You know I'm coming back, but just treat me with some decency and respect.
All right, what about this, Sean? What if we do a smaller prize?
Okay.
If someone tweets at us who the Giants and the Eagles pick in the first round correctly, they each have one first-round pick, correct?
Yeah, that sounds right.
All right, so if someone tweets at us the correct picks for both the Giants and the Eagles, what are we thinking?
Free T-shirt?
T-shirt and $100?
No. Dude, that's crazy.
No?
T-shirt and $100?
Yeah. Fuck it. Let's do it.
All right. T-shirt and $100.
Just giving away money here, Sean.
But then you have to have the pick in before, obviously, before the draft starts.
Yeah, we'll cut it off at, we'll do Friday at, like, I don't know, what, 3 Eastern or something like that?
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Wait, I thought it starts that Thursday night.
Oh, it's Friday night, isn't it?
I thought it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
It can't be not 4 nights, is it?
I thought Thursday was the first night, just the first round, then Friday. I could be wrong. Look it up.
All right.
We'll have to check that out.
I don't know. Guys. There's not really a strong consensus on either the Giants or the... Because the Giants usually just take whoever the best available, and the Eagles always do some weird trading. So I feel like that's a tough degree of difficulty.
Yeah, no, I guess in my head it seems simpler, but because you just look at
no
a mock
one's
draft
picking early. It's not like you're like, if you pick the Redskins pick correctly.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty easy.
All right, April 26th at 8 p.m.
That's a Thursday.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's a Thursday.
Oh, my God. What are they doing?
So we'll have to do the podcast Wednesday.
This is so hard.
We'll record the podcast Wednesday. Oh, hopefully the NBA lines will be up.
We can always do two, Sean. It is Thursday. No, this can't be right. That's crazy.
No, what we'll do is we'll just have to do a – we'll do one Wednesday night of the NFL draft.
Yeah, and then we'll do
and then we'll do
– that sounds good.
Because the lines probably won't be up late Wednesday for the playoffs yet.
No. We can wait and do that one Friday or something.
All right. Guess we'll just have to crank out more sports gambling podcasts for the fans, Ryan.
Yeah. So, all right. So we will tweet out an email address sometime in the next couple of days.
Sure.
Where you'll submit your entries. And also tweet at us who the Giants and the Eagles are going to take. Cash money on the line.
Yeah. I'm going to submit.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll have to go over the rules to see if you're eligible.
Yeah,
you'll have to enter under a pseudonym.
We'll have to go check out corporate, see what they say.
Yeah, we'll run it by the lawyers.
All right. Sounds good, Ryan.
All right.
And, of course, like I said, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, @gamblingpodcast on Twitter. I'm Sean, stacking the money green, and he's Ryan.
Stacking the real green.
Kramer, let it ride.